You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Hey guys, welcome to Social 545. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Saba, and I'm joined by Carlos today and our special guest.
Hey guys, my name is Mike. I'm not pointing at you guys. I hope this works. It works for me.
Welcome to Social 545. Thanks to our viewers watching us here on Blab. And for those of you that are listening on our iTunes on podcast, welcome to another episode. So Saba said we are joined today by Mike Delgado. Mike is the senior manager of social media and public relations for Experian. We're really excited to have Mike join us here on the show today. So welcome, Mike, to Social 545.
Dude, I am so grateful to you and Saba for inviting me to be part of this awesome Social 545 event. Thank you so much, and excited to share with you the things that we're doing at Experian and things we're experimenting with and testing. Because I think, as you know, like being in social media, it's all about being uncomfortable, testing out new things, trying out new things constantly. And that's what we're all about at Experian, is trying to be innovative, trying to test. And so I'm grateful to be on your show and share with your viewers about things that we're doing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about sort of how you ended up in this role, kind of what were the events that led you to be in social media? Because the space is fairly new, right? It's probably like over maybe a little over a decade old. So where did you start and how did you end up here?
Yeah, that's a good question, Saba. So it's funny. So I think my very first job actually worked as a greeter over at Marie Callender's down in Westminster. And I think it was like my very first training into being a community leader, is like meeting people, greeting people, having conversations with people you don't know, in a very real way. And so my first step into social was actually just being social in real life, you know, working at restaurants, getting to know people, getting more comfortable being around strangers and getting to, having conversations. When I went to school, I wasn't really sure. At the time, I was really into filmmaking and television film. And so I started like taking some classes in television film. And as I started in that process, one of my friends was like, you know what, Mike, you need to learn how to tell stories. And more important than learning filmmaking is actually learning to write and tell stories. So my friend convinced me to be an English major. So I shifted over to be an English major. And so when I graduated, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. But I had a degree in writing in English lit. So I'm like, well, I can write and maybe get a job as a writer. And so I ended up getting a job as a copywriter. And that led me down to this process of starting to write for the web. That led me into starting the first social accounts at one of the first companies I started at. So I started back then it was MySpace was really big, right? there were some other really niche social network sites. Remember Friendster? You know, there was all these really niche small social networking sites back then. And then over time, I've always worked in some role in developing content and marketing. And about 3.5 years ago, I started an internal social network over at Experian to help bring together kind of all the different thought leaders and digital marketers at our company to kind of share best practices internally. And our internal social community at Experian ended up growing to the point where I was then asked, hey, Mike, do you want to build communities externally? And so I was like, oh, this will be new and interesting. And I found out that I'd be working for who my now boss is, Jerry Chop, who is just an amazing leader and mentor. And I was like, yes, I will work for Jerry. And so I worked for him. And it's been just an amazing ride being under Jerry's leadership. And then our CEO, Craig Boundy, both of these leaders are just innovators. They're all about testing things, not being afraid of failure. And I think being around that type of leadership has really helped me in my role in social media, because that's why we're doing weekly blabs. That's why we're doing daily scopes, because my leadership says it's okay to test. It's okay to try things out. And so I guess my evolution through this, all of it, has been originally just being around people, being social around people, and then developing content, and then kind of learning to build community internally at the business level, and then learning how to do it externally.
Yeah. So Mike, Experian, we know as a credit reporting agency, but you guys also have other products outside of just credit reports, right? So talk to us about the different products that you guys offer outside of credit reporting and how do you guys make these products sexy, if you will, live stream?
Yeah. So we have like, we have so many different business lines in healthcare, in the public sector space, in business credit, in marketing services. I don't know if you've heard of marketing products like Hitwise. Mm-hmm. Experian owns Hitwise. Web analytics. We have CheetahMail, which is a email marketing service for enterprise companies. We have so many different services that we provide companies. And we have digital marketers all over the globe. We're in 39 countries. And to me, it's amazing for me to get a chance to see the different marketers, how they're using social media, how they're leveraging Facebook, how they're leveraging LinkedIn, how they're experimenting right now with Periscope with at live conferences. One of the business lines I'm working with right now is our recruitment team. And we just launched on Periscope something called JobScope. And every single Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern time, we have one of our Experian recruiters live on Periscope answering questions about interviewing skills, building a resume, how to create a solid LinkedIn profile, providing updates on what careers are available at Experian and giving people a chance to see that Experian is much more, Carlos, like you said, it's much more than a credit bureau. We have all these different divisions offering services to banks and businesses and marketing services. And so the job scope is an opportunity for our business line to be able to share out that Experian is more than a credit bureau. And at the same time, helping consumers and helping people find jobs and getting tips directly from a recruiter. Because I've never seen anything like it before where you can talk directly with a recruiter and ask like very candid questions. What should I do on my resume? How do I stand out on a resume? How about my LinkedIn profile? How can I make a more attractive LinkedIn profile that actually draw your attention to me and spend more time with me? You know, so those are some things that we're working on.
So it's interesting because for as much as we as consumers utilize live stream, you mentioned Periscope, we're here on Blab. You don't hear still so much about enterprise brands, especially the size of Experian, leveraging these. So let's take it piece by piece. So we're here on Blab right now on Social 545. Talk to us through not only how you guys are using Blab, but talk to us about how you, as essentially the leader internally of social media, how is it that you got your company to be on Blab?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So I'll say that 3 years ago, I launched this campaign called Credit Chat that originally started on Twitter. And it was a live event, live tweet chat where we would ask our community questions. We would have our experts there to answer questions as well as invite in thought leaders to answer questions. So it was strictly on Twitter for that hour, every single Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. About a year into it, Google Plus Hangouts on Air started. And I started playing with the idea of what if we did a Google Plus Hangout on Air along with a tweet chat? So there'd be like, you'd be on more channels. And I was like, would that be interesting? I know I was frightened by the idea. I'm like, what am I going to do for an hour? What if I have nothing to say? You know, it was like, I was like freaked out about doing the live hangout during a tweet chat. It scared me to death. And I actually had like nightmares about it. Like nightmares about like doing like a live streaming hangout and like not knowing what to say. And I read a lot of Seth Godin. And one of Seth Godin's comments was about like, if you're really scared about something, if you're like have that lizard brain about something, it might be that that's the right area where you need to move into. And so I was really challenged by Seth Godin's statement about if I'm really fearful of it, maybe I need to step in and actually try it. And so I did the very first Google Plus Hangout on Air. And so I started doing that for about 2.5 years. And then about 3 or 4 months ago, moved into Blab. And basically, because I had already been doing it on Google Plus Hangouts on Air, it was basically I'm just changing platforms. We're already doing this on Twitter. We've been doing this on Google Plus Hangouts on Air. We're now just bringing it over to a more social video platform like Blab. And I got to tell you, it was like one of the best moves we've ever made. Part of that was talking with Saba. I mean, Saba is obviously amazing in this space. She was in a huge encouragement for me. And moving to Blab has been one of the best moves we've made.
That's awesome. So let me ask you a little bit about sort of Periscope, because you talked about the credit chats that you guys do, and you guys also do the job scopes, right? And so one of kind of the most intimidating things that I, when I talk to other brands, as well as, you know, we talked a few months ago and things have changed drastically since then, is sort of this fear of, what if I'm scoping to no one, right? What if no one is listening? So tell us a little bit about sort of how you guys were able to build your community, because I know you told me, Mike, that you guys are at the point where you have people asking you questions, you have to write things on a whiteboard. And so things are picking up to the point where you can't keep up. And so kind of what was that process? And, you know, what is really the, I guess the point where you say, okay, this works and this doesn't work, and the importance of consistency with live stream?
Yeah, those are really good questions. So let me first speak to consistency. Okay. I think consistency is key. You know, just like you're doing your show every single week, it helps you build your audience. People know when you're going to be there. You know, I know Carlos and Saba are going to be live every single Thursday at 5:45. Just having that consistency helps you build community. And that's been key for the work that I've always done. So, you know, part of the community building efforts that I've done on with Credit Chat has been every single Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, we are live on Twitter. We are live on Google Plus Hangouts, and now it's Blab. But it's been that kind of mentality of building community and being consistent that has helped lead to a more engaging community of people who want to be able to talk with us and we want to be able to share with. And so when it came down to Periscope, you know, when you first start your Periscope account, you really have really no followers, right? You're kind of just starting from scratch. But you begin to follow people who you already know on Twitter. And because they know who you are and they've already engaged with you, they're more likely to follow you back.
Right.
And so we started to, I said, you know what? If we're going to do this, I want to scope every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that for Experian, we're going to scope every day. It's going to be called Credit Scope. Every day at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, which is a half hour before our credit chat starts at 3:00. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? So then it was like a conversation about, okay, if we're going to go on Periscope, what exactly are we going to be doing? And to tell you the truth, didn't know. I was like, okay, well, let's just use Periscope and bring it into things that we're already doing. So for instance, on Fridays, we were always recording our podcast. So we thought, well, why don't we just Periscope the podcast and invite people in? And so we set up a little camera and we told everyone, hey, guys, thanks for joining us on Periscope. We're doing our podcast recording today. You get to catch all our mistakes. And so join us. And so we would then talk, and then we would stop and then engage with our Periscope community and then get back to recording. And if we made a mistake, we would laugh. And, you know, we would laugh along with the Periscope audience because they could see it all live. And I think part of it's like being willing to make mistakes live. That's part of Periscope.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about sort of like the different topics that you guys have scoped about, because you guys have gotten extremely creative. And I've told you, Mike, like every time I see a notification every day, it's kind of this new topic that I was like, oh, that totally makes sense, right? For a credit score company, though, from the outside, people might think, what could they scope about? So can you just kind of highlight some of the really cool titles you guys have had recently? hint, hint, Black Friday, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll say, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's a live AMA with our credit expert. So anybody can just jump on, ask any questions they want about credit reports, credit scores, you having problems disputing something, join us. So every Tuesday and Thursday, it's live AMA. So that's what that is. Monday, Wednesday, Friday are the fun topics where we get a chance to like have fun, like Saba's saying. So like we just did a Black Friday chat, and you know, as you guys know, with Blab and Periscope, it's about engaging with people who are conversing with you. So on Periscope, people are typing in their questions and their comments, right? And so I'm like, what a great opportunity to crowdsource information. So for our Black Friday Periscope that we just did this week, I was just asking the community, hey guys, where do you guys like to go to buy stuff online? What websites do you go to? Where do you find the good deals? What apps are you using? And the community was just sharing so much information. They were saying RetailMeNot and blackfriday.com and just listing all these different things that I had no idea even existed. And I'm sitting there on the whiteboard writing everything out which then helped encourage the community to even say even more because they saw that I was taking note. I'm actually physically writing it down. And then after we were done, I would then recap what everyone was saying. So I think Periscope is a great way to crowdsource. And then as far as like fun topics, because we are a credit bureau, everything that has anything to do with money is can help you, you know, build your credit, you know, paying off debt, saving money, investing for the future. These are all topics we like to cover and just have fun with it at the same time.
I'm really curious to know, though, Mike, how is it that you get your community to open up to you? Because essentially, let's talk about Periscope for a second. On Periscope, it's one-way dialogue, right? How do you make this intimate connection where someone is talking about finances and credit and things that are just really personal to them?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that, I think part of it has just been through our active community building efforts with Credit Chat for people getting to know us and seeing us regularly. I mean, on Tuesdays and Thursday, it's Rod Griffin, who's our director of public education, and he's there every Tuesday and Thursday. People know who he is. He's there. He's not judgmental. He's there to help. He's like a counselor. He's like a therapist. And so people jump on, they see his, and he's also very, very funny.
Right.
You know, he's a great person to know. He's a good friend of mine. And he comes off, he's just very, very genuine. Mm-hmm. And so he's there to help. And so I think that the fact that as you see him answer and he's being so warm and inviting, mm-hmm. that helps people to feel comfortable sharing very, very personal things about their, you know, maybe their personal debt issues. Because we talk about things that are very, very serious. We'll talk about debt shame, right? People, especially if you have like student debt or things like that, where you maybe feel ashamed of debt. Like, we want our Periscope community, our TweetChat community, our video community to feel welcome. Like, it's okay. It's okay that you have debt. Let's talk through this. There are ways out. Let's talk about strategies to defeat debt, to punch debt in the face, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think what we're trying to do is almost have like a therapy session. Where it's like, come on in. We're all here.
It's almost like a credit intervention.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. And we're all in this together. And the thing is, like, these are topics like Christina was on here earlier. She's sharing her debt story. Mm-hmm. She's sharing how she's paying off her credit card. So it's like, we're all here in this together. Like, we all have credit files. We all have money issues. And so we're all just trying to be human and saying, hey, here's a mistake that I just made. You know, there was a story where I shared how I missed a credit card bill. I'm like, what? Like, I work at Experian. I'm supposed to be giving all these like credit tips and I missed paying a credit card bill. And so I talk about that, you know? And so it's like, I think by being real, by being honest, by being transparent and not being afraid to share our mistakes, it helps the community come in and share theirs.
That's awesome. And then in Blab, do you guys have the same approach where it sounds like you've built these personas, if you will? So you had mentioned, you know, on Periscope, you guys have someone who's consistent, and I love that, by the way, because I agree with you. As a brand, you always have to be consistent and not deviate just for the sake of trying something new. So on Blab, is it the same approach where you have the same persona? And again, this is a different medium where someone can hop in a seat and actually have a conversation.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, we are, and I don't even like to say persona, this is who we are, right? So I'm on here as myself. And when I go on Credit Chat, I'm myself. When Rod Griffin is on Periscope or on Blab, he's himself. So when we're here, we're just here to have real conversations about money. And one of the things we say about our Credit Chat is that it's topics that matter to all of us. Like, it matters to me. It matters to our viewers. Mm-hmm. And so whether we're on Periscope or I think Blab is more fun because I can actually see people. We can actually bring on guests, invite people who are just watching to join in, to grab a seat. And so that's something that I really love about Blab, because Periscope, I can only see the comment.
Right.
But I can't see the person behind them. I can't see, you know, who they are and get to know them. And so that's why I really appreciate Blab. And also in Saba, I wish that we could do more Blabs, because to me, it's one of the best platforms for building community, for people to get to know who you are. And also, I think it's just a fun platform. You know instantly if something's resonating with the props, you know. And then the comments on the sidebar, great.
Well, yeah. So tell us a little bit about sort of like, we've talked about Blab sort of in a vacuum, Periscope in a vacuum, but how has it like impacted your whole social media ecosystem? Because obviously people are sharing out to Twitter. I mean, what kind of impact do you see on other social platforms that Livestream has created for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just been, I mean, as you know, with Blab, you know, at the end of it, you have a video to share. So immediately we upload that to YouTube, right? You have audio that we can then pull for our podcasts, right? So it feeds SoundCloud, it feeds YouTube, and then I can then pull quotes and things from the transcription to be things that we share as visuals on SlideShare. So I find that the live content feeds every other channel in so many ways, and it's real time. You can't beat real time. That's why I love these platforms. It gets away from the whole scheduling out, which is not social, out things. That's not social. This is social, having a real conversation, engaging in real time, answering questions in real time. I mean, this is what it's all about. And then we could pull so much content from it to put in these other platforms.
I tell you, hearing what you guys are working on really makes me think of Experian in a whole nother light, because again, the average consumer just thinks credit reporting, and think of this in the context of when I'm going to buy a house, when I'm going to buy a car, when I get turned down for a credit card, they blame it on the credit reporting agency, right? But I love that you guys are putting really the human touch behind marketing. And that's what's great about Livestream, especially, is that you can really put a face and a voice in front of the logo. And I think more brands, real talk, need to take notice in what you and your team are doing, Mike.
Yeah, it's been an absolute blast. And we're constantly learning. I mean, these channels, as you know, are constantly evolving. It seems like Blab, the interface is changing regularly, right? So every time I come in, it's like, oh, there's a change here. It's getting better and better and better. And it's just been a great way to get to know the community better. Each of these platforms already has an existing community. And so as they're searching for topics within Blab, you know, maybe they might run across one of our credit chats that we've done. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden we might have a new viewer, someone who then joins us in the following Blab. So it's just been, I think these channels have been wonderful for engagement, and the amount of content that you can get out of it, as you know, video, podcasting, transcription for text, for blog posts, for infographics, so much can happen out of this 1 hour. A video.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up, because that's one of the things that I talk to so many different like companies about, like, how do we create the amount of content that we need to make sure that we're kind of funneling through information through all of our channels, right? So you have Instagram, you have Snapchat, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Blab now. And so there's sort of this urgency of being relevant, not weekly, but daily. And so I think Livestream has created this opportunity of crowdsourcing, like you mentioned, content repurposing. You know, you can pull a quote from an audience member and use that, right? And so I think that is one of like the main advantages, where it actually creates so much content and so much.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, that's like a huge ROI that some people don't think about. With live streaming, there is so much content that comes out of it. I think about our credit scopes that we're doing daily. The questions that we get, so we scope for 30 minutes every single day. We get about 300 to 400 questions submitted during that period. And we use catch.me to help archive everything. That then becomes fuel for us to go, you know what? We need to blog about that, or we need to address this in upcoming social events, even though, you know, we do see a lot of the same questions coming up and again, which remind us, yeah, just because we covered how to dispute a credit report 3 months ago and we think, oh yeah, we're done with that topic. No. We have new community members jumping in. They have the same questions. We need to make sure that we're re-educating, bringing this content back. So live event allows us to see what content we need to be producing more of, what content we need to bring back, just based on the live comments and questions that are being asked. It's been almost like a content farm, the amount of questions that we're getting, and it just fuels everything that we're doing going forward.
So question for you, Mike, outside of Periscope and Blab, what other cool up and coming social networks are you guys gravitating to? Are you guys on Snapchat?
Yeah. So Christina, who was just on here, was like, Mike, we need to get on Snapchat. So we're not on Snapchat. Christina was like, who's just here, was talking to me about Snapchat. So that's something that we are looking into. I would love to be there. I just got to make sure that we have time in our day to be able to do that. But I'm all about live streaming video, and Snapchat is all about that as well. So I do think it's an important channel for brands to be in. I just have not been there yet, but I say that yet because I'd like to be there.
How big's your team over at Experience?
So we have a social care team, about 5 people. Okay. And then we have an analyst, project manager, and then I work with Christina on the social initiatives and these campaigns. And I'll say that we also tested out Meerkat at the same time. So we have a Meerkat account as well. In the very, very beginning, when we were first testing out Periscope and Blab, basically I streamed them both at the same time. So I was using my phone, and then Christina had her phone on Meerkat. We basically just set them up, and we both just did the exact same event on both channels. And we basically did that every single day for a week just to kind of see what was happening on both channels. And then we felt it was unfair to do both at the same time. We felt like we were being dismissive of the Meerkat community or being dismissive of the Periscope community. So we were like, okay, we need to choose one. And over time, we were finding out that more of our community members were on Periscope. So we ended up just sticking to the Periscope. So we do have a Meerkat account, but we're not using it as much. We're pretty much using Periscope.
Right. I think it's interesting that although Snapchat is so much older than the live streaming platforms that we've been discussing, you guys haven't gone into that space, and you have guys have come into live streams. And I think it speaks a lot to how powerful live stream and video is, right? So Snapchat, although it's, you know, partially live because you can only consume it within the first 24 hours of the creation, and it's real time and it's fleeting because it kind of goes away, live stream, you're creating content and video, you get to engage your community. I mean, it's so much more all encompassing. But other than Snapchat, Blab, and Periscope, the ones we've discussed, what is like your all time favorite social media platform? And it can be Blab. no pressure, but I'm just curious, as a social media manager, overall, when you look at it, what is your favorite and why?
We're gonna say Carlos.
I was going to say, if you're old school like me, it could be America Online. That's okay, too. We know that's like the godfather of social media networks. Maybe.
Yep. That's so funny. So I'll tell you that if you asked me this question 3 years ago, I would have told you Google Plus, because I was sold. Wow. I was all about Google Plus because I loved Hangouts on Air, which is live streaming. And it was a chance to be able to connect with more people and have video directly into YouTube and YouTube Live events. And I felt that Google Plus Hangouts on Air and Google Plus was like it. And that's why I went to weekly Hangouts on Air. I have now moved over to Blab 3 months ago, and it's changed my life. Like for the brand, it's literally like the engagement level has shot up crazy amounts. It's been a wonderful platform. Like the video quality that we get, you know, the HD quality video that you get as a host is wonderful. The audio content is wonderful. And then the amount of wonderful engagement on the sidebar. Like I'm just looking at Chev's D80 and iRoss Brand and the different people that are viewing here. Like when I was in Hangouts on Air, I didn't know who the viewers were. It was like I'd see 10 viewers. I didn't know who they were. But Blab, I get to see, oh, I know who that person, I know who the viewers are because Blab tells me, and I can see if they engage with me on the sidebar. Like I've been just super impressed with Blab. So I'll say that right now, my favorite social network is Blab.
That's awesome. And actually we have Sean Puri who's joining us, which is great. So if you want to jump in, that would be awesome. And Michael Selzner is here as well. So I also want to talk a little bit about, you guys did some Black Friday content. And so tell us about how a brand can really take advantage of the holiday season. Like we have Thanksgiving coming up, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, of course, a lot of stuff around finance, and how they can really jump in and engage in their community. Because I know I definitely want to know sort of how the influx of spending is going to affect my credit score, right?
Yeah. I think seasonal content's always great for brands because it'll constantly rank, and over time you'll get more and more links, and you'll probably rank more and more for that type of content. And especially on social networks like Facebook, where so many people are on Facebook on Thanksgiving, it's a great time for brands to be there. So I think as far as like Black Friday, like I said, we have this whole last week, we've been scoping about Black Friday. We've been asking our community for tips, what websites, what apps they go to. We had a whole blab discussion this week talking about ways to save money and optimize your shopping schedule when you go Black Friday shopping. And we've then been taking a lot of these tips from our community, creating graphics around some of the best tips, we've then posted a SlideShare to feature some of the best tips on SlideShare from our community. And then all throughout the week, we're now sharing out some of the wonderful tips that our community has shared from this last week's blab and tweet chat all next week, because we did the chat this week. So all next week, as people are preparing for Black Friday shopping, we now have an arsenal of content that we can go to. And the great thing is we're featuring the tips from our community. So it's like we're sharing out like, oh, look what this person said in our tweet chat. Look what this person said in our blab. So it's all about, our whole effort on social is all about featuring our community, showcasing the great thoughts that are being shared. Because as you know, with crowdsourcing, like you can get so much wisdom from the crowd, so much wisdom from the community. And so our goal at Experian is really sharing out the wonderful things that we're learning from our community and spreading the word.
You know, Mike, so let's stay on the topic of Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And you have so many brands that they try to be relevant, and you talk about real-time marketing. So how can brands between today, we're a week away from Thanksgiving, how can brands leverage the holiday? What should they be doing? Give some tips to marketers out there on maybe three tips on what they should be doing in advance of Thanksgiving or preparing specifically for Black Friday to be a part of all that buzz that's going to be taking place on Twitter, on Facebook, even here on Blab.
Yeah, I think number one, you want to just create useful content. So a lot of people that are going to be, you know, getting ready for Black Friday, they want to know what, you know, I'm in the financial space, so they're very interested in how can they save money. So for instance, NerdWallet is doing a really good job of sharing, you know, deals, some of the best deals right now for Black Friday shopping. So I think number one, you just got to be sharing out very, very useful tips to your community, not self-serving tips, but tips that are actually going to help people with their shopping. You know, here at Experian, we're all about helping people improve their credit. So that means decreasing debt, paying off debt. So we're also trying to educate people that, hey guys, you know what, if you can't control your spending on Black Friday, we recommend you just stay home. Don't go out, right? Because the last thing we want is for you to go into the stores and get into debt. So part of our work is not only to educate and say, hey, here are stores where the good deals are happening and being useful in that way, but secondly, to educate and say, you know what, you know yourself. If you think you're going to overspend on a credit card, maybe you should just bring cash into the store so you're going to limit yourself to stick to a budget, right? So I think depending on where,
I like that.
Yeah. So I think depending on like what your company does and where you are in the space, you need to be a leader in helping to educate consumers in their shopping. So I say number one, be useful. Two, educate. And then three, crowdsource. Like as you're finding great content, reshare out, retweet, share out the really great content that you're seeing from your community.
Be useful, educate, and crowdsource. I tell you, I need to tell my wife, I need to tell Mrs. Gill to start following Experian on Twitter. That sounds like some really sound advice. So we actually have a question here from the audience from Russ Brand. And his question is, you had talked earlier about Catch and how you guys are using it. So he wants to know, is there any way to cut up Catch video for smaller clips for blog posts, which is an excellent question.
Yeah, so I love Catch.me. I'm loving the way that it's evolving. I loved how quickly they changed when on Periscope, how you could switch over from portrait mode to landscape mode. Mm-hmm. And Catch.me quickly made the change. So it doesn't matter whether you're shooting like this or like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Catch.me will automatically change. I think so right now I've actually been taking, I use Camtasia to take screenshots of specific clips. So like on Tuesdays and Thursdays when we do our live AMA on credit, I'll take specific questions and do screenshots and just crop them, and then I'll drop them into YouTube just to make little sound bites. And then at the same time, taking audio for podcasting the same way. So I'm using catch.me to archive everything. And then more importantly, looking at the comments to see how that can fuel future content. But then the video and the audio is very, very useful for any sort of, if you have a YouTube channel or if you have audio for podcasting or SoundCloud accounts. So that's a really good question, Roz.
Yeah, that is an excellent question. So just want to go ahead and take a moment to say thank you to all of our viewers here on Blab. Thank you so much for watching another episode of Social 545. We are here chatting with Mike Delgado. He is the senior manager of social media and public relations for Experian. So, Mike, before we went on air, we were talking about your role. It's really interesting. So you have a dual role. You manage social media. You manage public relations. Talk to us about how you balance both of those. And tell us, at the end of the day, are you more of a public relations guy? Or are you more of a marketer? What way do you... you side?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I want to say that, kind of back up and say that when this position was developed, the chief marketing officer of our company decided that social media should sit under public relations. And I think that was actually a very, very smart move, because if you sit social media under marketing in a company, you're going to be bound by, well, how many sales did you bring in? What's your conversion rates? And that could be very, that could be very, very important. But for Experian, we're all about building our reputation, building trust with consumers. And so when I'm on social, I'm not there to sell. I'm there to help educate. And so I'm very, very happy that social media sits under public relations. I think it was a very, very smart move from our CMO.
Indeed.
And so, yeah, I sit under public relations, and I'm all about working for my boss, who is amazing in helping to build reputation, build trust with consumers and with journalists. But my role primarily is working on social. So working on platforms like Periscope, on Blab, and of course all the other, you know, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera.
That's great. We have another question from an audience member here. Mike Selzner says, what do you think about 360 video and its role with brands?
Oh, Michael. So that is fascinating. I've only seen a couple different brands using it. I'm like amazed by it. I don't even know how to do it yet, so I can't even speak. I can't even answer the question, but I'm blown away by what I'm seeing, and I want to do it.
So you guys,
have you liked the Facebook page for 360 video that shows all the different clips? I think there's one from the Saints, New Orleans Saints. There's one of someone surfing.
Oh, that's...
there's another one. Oh, it is some next level stuff.
No, that's so cool. I love to watch. I mean, I love the GoPro social channels at Red Bull. I love like live action video and testing out different ways of doing video. So Michael Stelzner, you got me going now. 360 video. Okay, now I got to focus in. I got to look into this more, because this is exciting times for video for sure.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that Facebook talked about is they're working with different mobile applications where you can actually create 360 video and natively upload it to Facebook. And so for example, I know that you guys Periscoped a lot when you guys were at FinCon. Imagine if you created a 360 video of the FinCon room and you were able to just natively upload that to the Experian Facebook page, and sort of what value that would bring to your community, sort of the engagement. They would feel like you're actually there with you.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. So yeah, it would be definitely interesting to test out and play around with. I think, as you know, I'm sold in on live streaming, and something we've been doing for 3 years. And I think that now these platforms like Periscope, Meerkat, and now Blab are just making live streaming easier and easier to connect. I mean, I was thinking about even 3 years ago when Hangouts on Air, the process to get a Hangout on Air going, it's like I had to spend time doing a testing, training just to do a Hangout on Air with somebody. And now with Blab, it's so simple. You just click a button and you're in. No problems with video and sound. It all works seamlessly. Same with Periscope and Meerkat. Yeah. I mean, the evolution in live streaming is blowing me away. And so it's interesting seeing I'm going to be talking to Facebook 360. I'm going to check that out.
Check out that link. It is trippy. You have some videos there. So there's one that Mark Zuckerberg had posted last week. He was in North Korea and there was a parade.
Wow.
And literally you can circle around the entire view. You can see people having a conversation, you know, in the stands. you can just look around the entire scenery, and it is seriously one of the trippiest things I've ever seen, but it looks amazing. So you're in for a treat.
That's so cool. Okay. I'm excited. You guys are on the cutting edge. I'm just learning here.
So you talked about Blab being a real game changer.
Yeah.
And I agree. So Saba and I, a couple of months ago, didn't have a podcast, which today we do, which is on New and Noteworthy in iTunes. And it originated here because of Blab. And there's just so many great use cases. And again, I have to go back to it. You don't hear yet of many enterprise brands like Experian. They're not only using Blab, but using Livestream to go ahead and expand their community outside of just text. And, you know, the one-way dialogue that you see historically of just pushing out content and then driving people back to your website. So I got to say, it's just really refreshing. I got to tip my hat to you. And I want to know from one marketer to another, how do you get this sold internally to your CMO and to your different stakeholders internally that we're going to go down this route? Mm-hmm. We're going to have consumers that are going to be openly talking with us about things like credit repair and credit issues and debt management?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think part of it is it really, really helps when you have leadership that's already bought in. So I'm very, very lucky that my senior leaders, who I've mentioned, you know, my boss, Jerry Chopp, our CEO, Craig Boundy, and the other leaders in the organization are all about being innovative, testing things. And so because I have that as my leadership, like that gives me the freedom to go ahead and try and try things like this. I mean, when I started out, when we started doing Periscope and Meerkat, I had no idea whether it was going to be successful or not. But I have leaders who are like, if you want to try this, go for it. Let us know how it goes. And so I provide reports. I give analysis. I say what's working, what's not working. I think a big part of anybody who works in social media for a company, like your job, when you go in, you get excited because you're like, oh, I got a chance to work on social networks, and you get a chance to write and create content and take pictures and video and all that. But a big part of your job is actually educating internally, educating the leaders to let them know how things are going. Not only the successes, but I think the failures too. And part of being in an innovative culture, you know, like when I went down to Facebook, the Facebook campus about a year ago, and they had posters all over the walls about fail harder. What would you do if you weren't afraid? And they had these messages all over the wall because they want to keep that startup culture alive at Facebook. And I feel the same way at Experian. Our leaders want us to be testing things and sharing with them what's working, what's not working. Because I work on campaigns that don't work too. And I'm telling my boss, here's what's not working. Here's what I've been trying. Here's the metrics. I'm not happy with them. I need to change this. And so I think, like, as somebody who, if you want to help to shape culture at your company, you need to be educating your leaders. You need to be showing what's winning, what's failing, so that they see that you're testing things out. And then always kind of like pushing the boundaries, never getting comfortable. I think that's part of what we do, right? Carlos and Saba is like, on social, we never get comfortable. There's always some new channel. We never want to rest, you know, our laurels on one specific channel. Say, well, we're good on Facebook. I guess we're a social company. Well, you know what? As you know, for brand pages are really suffering on Facebook right now. And so it's good to be testing out new channels all the time. So it's like, I feel like I'm really enjoying Periscope and Meerkat and Blab. And I'm like, what's going to be next? What are other channels that we need to be looking into?
Right. And it's interesting, right? Because this, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Carlos, but I think it's important because the social media space actually forces you to constantly evolve and change as the market decides to shift to different platforms. So 4 years ago, you were innovative if you were on Facebook, right? 3 years ago, you were innovative if you were on Instagram. 2 years ago, you were innovative if you were on Twitter. And a year ago, you were innovative on Snapchat. But in 3 years, you're not going to be innovative if you're on Blab, right? There's going to be something else. And I think that mentality that you just described of being able to adopt new platforms, not being scared, being able to educate and say, hey, you know, this is working, this isn't working, is so important. Just as someone who works in social media, works in marketing, works in public relations. And kind of to that point of education, I want to highlight the fact that you do teach at UCI Extension. And tell us a little bit about sort of your experience teaching some younger professionals or maybe even older professionals about what's happening in the social media space.
Yeah, that's a good question, Saba. So I think that for me, teaching has been a great way for me to make sure that I'm always on my game. You know, by teaching, it makes me a better student because I constantly got to be looking out at the latest stats, looking at the latest channels. I was just sharing before this blab that I spent almost an hour in one of my classes talking just about blab this last quarter. And I had blab up on the screen. We were all looking at it together, commenting about it. People were sharing their thoughts in the classroom. And so as I educate, you know, my goal is to provide and arm my students with the knowledge so that they can take on social media channels for a company, that they're knowledgeable about best practices. I try to teach them things that are, I guess, platform agnostic, where it doesn't really matter what the channel is,
yes.
Right? It's more about how are you building community? What is your method for building community? How are you educating? How are you supporting them? And giving them just a lot of just personal advice based on what I know, sharing with them things that I failed on. And then, you know, just and at the end of their class, they build out an actual social media plan for a whole year for a local business that they can actually go to and be able to say, here's my plan for your local business. So it's been a great time for me to educate and helps me stay on top of everything that's happening as well.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the key word, which is community. And so many times you hear that content is king in social media. And I say BS, it's all about community because without the community, you can put out the best content,
right,
but no one's going to be listening. You're going to be talking to yourself. And, you know, like yourself, Mike, I've worked in brand marketing now, especially in social media for the last several years. And I've faced a lot of those challenges. And, you know, you brought up an earlier point, which is about testing and selling that vision to executives. And so many marketers, they're afraid to pull the trigger because they're afraid of the one word, which is no.
Yeah.
And, you know, in business, in life, and especially when you work in corporate marketing, you have to be willing to take intelligent risks.
That's right.
Where you're going to your executives, because at the end of the day, all they need is someone to teach them. They need someone to guide them. They get that social media is important. They get that live stream is important because they hear their kids are on it or their grandkids are on it. And all they need is someone like you to come around and say, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to use it. And we're going to do a 3-month pilot and see what comes out of it. And at the end of those 3 months, I'm going to report the results back to you. And that's it.
That's right.
If you go to the table with that, you're not going to get shot down. You're not going to be told no. If you go to the table and just say, hey, I think we should be on Blab just because, that's where you'll be met with resistance.
Yeah.
I know you can relate to that.
Oh, totally, Carlos. Now, it's funny. I was just talking to a colleague and we're talking about, you know, the word test sometimes bothers people. So he was saying that in his company, he likes to use the word experiment. And sometimes that word changes the whole conversation because you work with data scientists who are they're scientists. So you say the word experiment, it's like, oh yeah, that speaks my language. Oh, I get what you're saying. You want to experiment with this channel. So sometimes just redefining, re-saying how you want to communicate it can help you. But yeah, coming with them with a plan. I mean, the leaders are there for a reason. They're smart. They're very analytical. They just want to know that you've thought through it too. That you are going to be, you know, it's a calculated risk. You're not being reckless. You're kind of sharing, okay, here's what I want to do. Here are some potential challenges. Here are some potential problems. Here's how we'll address these things. Here's the timeline of how we're going to test it. And at the end of this date, if we find out that it's not useful, we ditch it and move on. Okay, great. Yeah,
I actually want to.
And nothing lost. And, you know, again, I love using the word pilot. It's like trial by fire.
I
say that often. We are going to pilot this and we're going to see how it goes. And I tell you, here's a trick for anyone that's watching. I just want to throw this out there. Right now, Blab has us on the homepage in the prime marquee position. So thank you to everyone that's watching us and joining on Social 545. So here's a hack, if you will, for anyone out there who's in marketing and wants to get something sold to your executives. Try it yourself, okay? Use yourself as the case study and go to Mr. or Mrs. CMO or executive and present. Here's here's something that I'm doing on my own on Periscope or on Snapchat or on Blab. And here's how, as a brand, we can do this, because we all know most brands have greater reach than you or I or the average user.
Mm-hmm. I like that you mentioned that, because I wanted to highlight one of the comments in the chat here. Ross says, you can't really understand a social platform until you dive in and experience it. And the experience is so important for so many. I mean, there's so many people that I've had a conversation with and say, oh, you know, I have this podcast on Blab. Oh, what's Blab? You explain Blab. They say, okay, you know, another new social network, and they're very resistant to kind of jump in, right? But the moment that you say, hey, you know, why don't you just jump in? And they're like, what do I have to do? And you say, you know, all you have to do is get on your mobile device or your web browser, right. You click a button and you're there. And then when they go through that experience of being on Blab, I did this with someone that I met yesterday that I brought on to my tech show today, and they were impressed. They were blown away, right? So I think that experience and having that kind of under your belt really plays into what Carlos said to, if you have actually gone through it and you're saying, hey, I'm already doing this. This is the experience I've had. This is the community I've built. This is the amount of visibility I've created for myself. Would you guys like this as well? And we can run this as a pilot. What better way to kind of go about it?
Yeah. And if you can get one of your leaders to join you right. In the experience, like they'll see it for themselves, which would be a totally different experience. So I was sharing the very first time we did the live credit AMA, where it's like basically ask any question you want about credit reports and credit scores. Here's like a screenshot with Rod. He got inundated with 300 questions in 30 minutes. And it was just an amazing piece. So that 30-minute period with him in Periscope sold him. He was like, oh, I'm in. I'm totally in on Periscope, because he saw the value. He saw the engagement. And then he was like, he's always wanted a platform where he can have really real-life questions being coming in. And then as a social media person, I'm like, oh, the amount of content that this is creating, YouTube videos, audio for podcasting, the questions are now new blog posts. Like, I was like, this is beautiful.
Yes. Well, the other side to that also that we haven't talked about is competitor analysis. Mm. Okay. How many times do you look at what your competition's doing, and if they're doing a one up on you, you can use that as a blueprint to say, hey, look, you know what? Here's what our competition's doing. This is exactly the content that they're putting out, and we can either choose to be fast followers, or we can sit on the sidelines and see them go ahead and kick us in the teeth because, you know, they're being much more advanced than we are.
Yeah, I think that's also, you definitely make a good case for that. I think that I like to be faster. Like, I want to be that brand. And so I think Seth Godin said, like, if you're waiting for the case study, you're too late. And so I want to be the case study. Like, I want Experian to constantly be the case study trying new things. Because as you know, if you're first and you're successful, you can really grow your brand and build community faster in a new platform versus if you are, you know, third, fourth, because you saw someone else do it, it's going to be slower and harder work for you. So I do agree with you, Carlos, that if you can point out other brands in your industry that are doing it, that could definitely sell it to the leadership quicker. But I think that there's huge, huge value in trying to be first. And it's being willing to test. The very first time I did a Periscope, I didn't even know how to stop it, you know? So I was doing the scope and I was like, okay, thanks, bye. And I was like, oh no, how do I stop the scope? And I was like, the last minute, which felt like an eternity, was my finger on the screen. Like, how do I stop broadcast, you know? But yeah, like Ross was saying, you don't know it till you experiment with it and try it out and be comfortable and okay with failing. Like, you have to be totally okay with that. Yeah. Showing your flaws.
And sort of the upside is that if you ran that pilot for 3 months and it completely failed, right? All you really lost is sort of some time and a little bit of resources, right? But the upside of if it works, the amount of payoff, like disproportional payoff and opportunity that you have created for Experian is completely worth it, right? And so if you were to have waited, let's say even 6 months, right? If you were to have waited and said, you know, we'll try this in a year when we see another brand do it, right? You wouldn't be able to make the same impact that you can today or that you did 3 months ago. And so I think that's a really important thing. And I talk about that a lot too, in terms of, you know, okay, it doesn't work. You haven't lost anything. But if it does work, think about the upside there. And that's really sort of the perspective you should be looking at when you're looking towards deciding on whether you should jump into a new social media platform.
Yeah.
So we have a question here from Cheval, one of our audience members. He says, which social media platform should small businesses look to use?
Yeah, Cheval, I think that's a really good question. I think that I always go back to knowing where your audience is at. And that's where you want to start, by listening to where your target audience is spending time. And there are some great listening tools that you can use. There's free tools like socialmention.com. There are paid tools, like Radian6 and tools like Metrica Radar, where you can listen in on keywords that are important to your business. And I think the first thing you want to do is just listen in on the keywords that your target audience talks about. I think the mistake some people make is they start listening for their business name. But maybe no one's talking about your business name. But what you want to do is you want to listen to the keyword phrases or the keywords your target audience would be using, right? So a really simple thing would be use a free tool like Hootsuite, a simple thing to do, and then create a stream to start tracking people that are using those specific keywords that maybe your target audience might be using. And then from that, you can then decide what platforms. I mean, if it's Twitter, you might discover if you're using a socialmention.com that there are forums where your target audience is at. You might discover that there are LinkedIn groups where your target is at. There could be, Yahoo groups, for all you know, that with hundreds of people that are part of the Yahoo forum where your target audience is at. But it all begins with listening, reading the blogs, finding out where your community is spending time, where are they commenting, and spending time listening. And that sometimes is, when you're working in social media, like the listening part is sometimes the hardest part to prove the ROI, right? Because you can spend all this time analyzing and listening, but after the end of the day, you spent 6 hours listening. What content did I get out of it? Well, I don't really have content, but you have a lot of ideas for content potentially.
Yeah.
And you might know new hashtags, and you might know new communities, but I think it all starts with listening.
Yeah, another thing I want to add to kind of the answer is that listening, although it's super, super important, I think you also have to think about sort of where you can make the biggest impact. And I think a lot of times I see brands or companies that are not very involved in social want to jump into Facebook ads, and they don't even have a community, they don't have anything established, and they just want to be where everyone says they need to be. And the argument I always make to them is, yes, Facebook is important, yes, Instagram is important, yes, Twitter is important. But for you right now, the most important thing is for you to create visibility somewhere. And the place you can do it the fastest, I think, right now is live stream. You're creating live video, live content. You're able to engage real time and provide the value they're looking for. And so you should start where the people are not right now, and then sort of reverse that community and push them out to the other platforms and grow it that way. And so I think keeping in mind sort of the amount of noise, and like you always talk about, sort of what is the ROI? So they'll have to probably spend a disproportionate amount of time trying to advertise on Facebook and pay for it, versus if they just spent some time on live streaming, it would maybe not feel as impactful initially, but long term it would pay off because they would be able to grow it exponentially. So,
yeah. No, I was just going to add that, I totally agree, Saba, that live streaming is a wonderful way to build your brand, to start to build an audience, for people to get to know you. I also was just thinking, like with Facebook, I mean, maybe it's not creating a Facebook page, but it could be finding those Facebook communities that already exist, where your target audience is already spending time, and just getting to know people there. I mean, that's another way that you can go about it. But it all begins with listening and finding out where they're at first.
Exactly.
Mike, so we have a couple of minutes left, and if it's cool with you, we'd love for you to stick around for the after show that we do here on Blab. But before you jump off, where can viewers out there follow you and connect with you?
Sure. So I'll put the links in the sidebar, but we have a weekly credit chat that happens here on Blab as well as on Twitter every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'll put the link in on the sidebar. It's just ex.pn/creditchat. And then we're on Periscope every single day. And the short URL is ex.pn/creditscope. I'll put the URLs there. And then personally, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me on Twitter at Mike Delgado.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thank you so much. for joining us here on Social 545. This has been an awesome interview, and heck, we've learned a lot about the amazing work that you and your team at Experian are doing. And I also wanted to go ahead and say thank you to our viewers that are watching us here on Blab. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Social 545. If you check it out, leave us a review. We appreciate you. And we will see you not next week because it's going to be Turkey Day, but we'll see you the week after, first week of December, Thursday, 5:45 Pacific, 8:45 Eastern. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to my co-host, Ms. Saba.
Thanks, Carlos. Yeah, I just want to thank everyone who joined us today. Thank you for Mike for sharing all of your knowledge and your insights. I know it was, I mean, we have spoken before and I just learned so much more every time I speak to you. Thank you to our live audience members who are here to engage, ask us questions. It's been great. I'm really excited. A quick little preview of who we have on for just for the next show is going to be a Snapchat influencer. So we're going to be talking a lot about Snapchat and how brands are utilizing them to create more awareness. So we're excited about that. So with that, we are signing off Social 545. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.